James Version. Safety of abiding in the presence of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Good morning, everyone. First, I just wanted to say the scripture reading this morning was wonderful. All too often for myself, you know, I view the scripture reading as just the preface of the service to give us a little background on what's going to be said that day. And sure, that's exactly, you know, once again, what it was this morning. But hearing you speak the words this morning and seeing the words on the screen, it just hit a little differently for me today. The entire service today is doing exactly what was read. It's us building each other up as we're called to do. Because if all we ever find when we come to church is the duties and the responsibilities that we have here because we volunteered for this, or there's this drive, it can become more of almost a bother to come to church than what it's supposed to be, which is a connection with other believers and a connection with God. So I invite anyone, if you have prepared something, to just come up whenever there's an open spot. There's going to be dead air this morning. There will probably be an awkward silence or two. That's okay. And that's kind of by design, because I'm someone who thinks a word could hit you that you just want to share and you didn't plan it. And so what would be the point of scripting anything if you were just touched and wanted to share a thought with everyone? So as you feel led, please come on up and share words of encouragement with each other.
Okay, so we worked on this in Sunday school today, and everybody has something to read.
I'm reading Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His commands.
I will be saying Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
I'm going to be reading John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life.
And so not to be left out, even though I truly do not like public speaking, I have one too. Mine is from Micah 6:8. And he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with him. Many times in my life, when I find myself in certain places, this verse has kind of brought me back to how I should evaluate the situation. Good job.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I wanted to do it quickly before I decide I don't feel like doing it. That's why we jump ahead. I'm going to be reading something that came in Suzanne Brooks' memorial service program, and I've had it on my refrigerator ever since May. So you can think of Suzanne. It's a poem called "Take Time." Take time to work. It is the price of success. Take time to think. It is the source of power. Take time to play. It is the secret of perpetual youth. I like that one. Take time to read. It is the fountain of wisdom. Take time to be friendly. It is the road to happiness. Take time to dream. It is hitching your wagon to a star. Take time to love and be loved. It is the privilege of redeemed people. Take time to look around and serve. It is too short a day to be selfish. Take time to laugh. It is the music of the soul. Take time for God. It is life's only lasting investment. Thank you, Suzanne.
I wanted to share this morning about the storms in my life and how I deal with them, but also want to begin to tell you about two people that were very important in my life, that really mentored me and got together and prayed. And that one was June Weber, way back when, and Jill Shank. We always got together every Tuesday of every week and prayed and talked about our children and grandchildren. And I don't even know if we had any grandchildren by that time. But anyway, I just thank God for their way that they mentored me through the storms. And speaking of storms, so often we all have storms in our life. Might be mental storms, might be physical storms, it might be emotional storms, it might be the relationship storms that we go through. But you know, I want to use this metaphor about the storms in our life, and it's taken from Mark 4. When the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee, they were in a storm, and Jesus was on the ship with them. And they all got on the ship, and all of a sudden this tremendous storm came up. And they were afraid. But you know, God could have calmed that storm even before it happened, but he chose not to. He fell asleep on the ship. And all of a sudden, the disciples were fearful. So they woke up Jesus and said, "Would you calm the storm?" And he did. He spoke and he calmed the storm. And I just want you to know that God is in the boat with you during those storms. He will carry you through. And as the scripture up there, Psalms, was it 91, that he does carry us through. And when we're in the storm, we neglect looking for the rainbows. And the rainbows are there. But we are so wrought and heartbroken that we can't see them. But I want you to know that God is there with you every step of the way. He's guiding you. He's trusting you. He's in the boat with you during those storms. And I want to talk about gratitude too. And this, I'm going to be over with by that time. Gratitude is to thank God for the storms. And I know that's hard to do, but we learn. We learn to grow in knowing Christ's character and how he can work in our lives through those storms if we say, thank you, Lord. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's the way it is. And Ted and I read this Jesus Calling book. We try to do it every morning during breakfast. And this, I don't know if this was a particularly a storm in my life, but anyway, I got to tell you how I got this. And this was a rainbow. This was a rainbow. We all know, like, I go to the thrift store all the time. I'm a thrift shopper, everything from the thrift store. So I always go to the book section and look for, something to read, like a Jesus Calling book. And I'm sure many of you know about Jesus Calling book. So I picked this thing up and I opened it up, the front page. Now, remind you that it's from the thrift store. Dear Ted, Teddy and Sue, this book has given me and my girls so much joy and peace and hope. I had to share it with you both. Love you so much always, Patsy. Who's Patsy? I have no idea. But some people still call Ted Teddy, and some people still call me Sue. And this was such a rainbow that I just had to smile. It was just, out of the blue, God sent me a rainbow. And so I want to read, when we go through the storms, we do suffer, right? And so I'm going to read October the 14th. Be prepared to suffer for me in my name. All suffering has meaning in my kingdom. Pain and problems are opportunities to demonstrate your trust in me. Bearing your circumstances bravely, even thanking me for them, is one of the highest forms of praise. Even thanking me for them, this is the highest honor of praise. This sacrifice of thanksgiving rings golden toned bells of joy throughout heavenly realms. On earth also, your patient suffering sends out ripples of good tidings in every widening circles. When suffering strikes, remember that I am sovereign and that I can bring good out of everything. Do not try to run from pain or hide from problems. Instead, accept adversity in my name, offering it up to me for my purposes. Thus your suffering gains meaning and draws you closer to me. Joy emerges from the ashes of adversity through your trust and thankfulness.
Storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place mid the crowd. Righteous Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky.
So I am a huge procrastinator. I think it's gotten worse in the past couple years, to the point that, you know, Kitty was the one who was just like, oh, you know, maybe we could do this for a Sunday. And building off an idea that Don had shared probably a month or two ago. So I've known about this Sunday for a while. This morning was when I finally was like, oh, let's sit down and come up with something. So that's the worst. I'll be reading two verses out of Deuteronomy 31. And to give a little context, this is where Moses has basically all but delivered the Israelites. They're right there. And Moses knows he's not going. Which, if I was an Israelite, I'd probably be a little upset because he's already done so much. What are we going to do without Moses? And verse 6, I'm going to do verse 6 and verse 8. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So I thought that was pretty fitting. And with that, thank you, Rhonda. She was the one who asked for Psalm 91 to be read, and following me will be a poem that Don submitted.
Feelings are complicated sometimes. And so sometimes we don't have the words to describe them explicitly. So we turn to poetry. And poetry sometimes has words and that we don't understand explicitly. It evokes feelings that mirror the feelings that we have inside of us. And so the poem that you're going to hear is not the sort of thing that we normally hear in church. And I don't have explanation for the poem. I don't pour everything in the poem. I mean, it's some things about it that I don't understand, but I know that it evokes a certain set of feelings for me, desires, and the poem is titled Grace. And for me, grace is a very powerful concept. That idea of unreservedly giving love, whether or not, or receiving love, whether or not we deserve it. And in turn, you know, giving that love to others. That's my introduction.
It was grace, stunned by the last light of the sun. We were swimming in a green sea as deep as a drum. There are things I must record, must praise. There are things I have to say about the fullness and the blaze of this beautiful life. The beloved watched the world on its knees with an infinite degree of separation. That was something to see. And my friend told me death is like taking off a tight shoe. And when I stopped looking for me, I was able to find you. Right there where everything is transcendent, I can feel myself opening up, getting closer. No hope is enough. I've stopped hoping. I'm learning to trust. I came to under that red moon. I was completely crushed. Please use me. Please move through me. Please unscrew me. Please loosen me up. Make music with me. Make everything stop. Make noise and make silence with me. Make love. Let me be love. Let me be loving. Let me give love, receive love, and be nothing but love. In love and for love and with love. In love and for love and with love. Surrender. I do surrender. Move through me and feel me get out of the way. And tune into something more deep and reflective than what's to be achieved or perceived or affected. What's my problem? I'm always drawn back to that wrestling match. 10 thoughts in the ring of my mind playing catch. I can't live for the noise in my head. I just want to dig a big ditch in the soil of my breath and bury my brain there. But love said, if you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. But if you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. It was grace, stunned by the last light of the sun, swimming in a green sea as deep as a drum. There are things I must record, must praise. There are things I have to say about the fullness and the blaze of this beautiful life, of this beautiful life.
My scripture today comes with a little bit of a history lesson. So if you like history, I think you'll enjoy it. If you don't like history, you just didn't have a good teacher. So give me a chance. The scripture that I'll read, I actually read in my class last week. And so to give you a little lesson behind it, we are discussing the Enlightenment and the revolutions that happened in Europe. And I saw a quote that was attributed to Voltaire, French writer. And I started doing some research, as I always do. And there's a website that I use that does a lot of investigation on quotes and figures out, did this person really say it, or where did it come from? And long story short, they think that Voltaire probably did not say it, because the only time they found it, a reference to it, was the time that he has already passed away. But it definitely was something that I could use in my class. And so when I gave the quote to my students, they immediately thought it meant something else. So I'm going to read that quote that came from the revolution first, and to tell you how it ties in with the scripture reading. So in 1793, there was a, and during the French Revolution and the French National Convention, there was a passage. And in that passage, the English translation basically says, they must consider that great responsibility follows inseparably from great power. And I gave that quote to my students and they go, oh, that's from Spider-Man. From great power comes great responsibility. And I'm like, okay, it's a good interpretation. And then I gave them another quote that I'm going to read you from 1908, Teddy Roosevelt, my favorite president. When he was asked if he was going to run for a third term, he gave a quote, and one statement of his one sentence in his quote says, I believe in power, but I believe that responsibility should go with power. And so then I gave them this quote from the Bible, Luke 12:48. I'm not going to read the entire scripture because only part of it deals with my point, but the part of it that deals with the point I'm trying to make was, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been given and been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And so I asked my students, does that sound like from great power comes great responsibility? A lot of them said yes. And as I was thinking with about this quote and living with it this week, preparing for today, I started thinking about how it affects me and us. And I thought about those of us on the council, we have great power in deciding the direction of our church, but we also have a great responsibility to the members in the church. Those of us on the pastoral search committee, same thing. We have a great power in deciding who's going to be our transitional pastor, but we also have a great responsibility, people that we are serving. And we collectively have a great power in deciding what our church is going to be like today and in the future. But we also have a great responsibility to ourselves and to our future generations in deciding what our church is going to be like 5, 10, 20 years down the road. So I just wanted everyone to sit with that and think with that for a minute.
I wanted to share an example of encouragement and that came within this church and brought God to me. I went a long time, many years back. I was in a couple car accidents, and many of you know this and have heard this before. And I went through some real struggles with the losses I was going through. And my mom was sick with ALS, and I was in a really dark place. And Snooki gave us an assignment in Sunday school to give each other to draw names and give a passage from the Bible to the person that you drew. And Teresa Siebels drew my name, and she knew me pretty well. And she gave me a passage, and it was Philippians 4, chapter 10 through 13. I carry this card around with me because it was so inspirational to me and encouraging to me. And I'll read it to you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And then she wrote, "This is my prayer for you." And this was something that brought God to me when I was in a very dark place. And I wanted to just share that with you all, that this is a very encouraging passage to me still to this day. And then just one other passage that is really important to me is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. That one for me is just sitting still and waiting for God to speak to me, or finding God's presence is a way that I can get encouragement and peace, and then helps me bring it to others. So that's what I wanted to share with you all today.
Thank you, everyone. I'm sure it spoke to you as it spoke to me. We had words of scripture. We had testimonies. We had poetry. We had passages and presentations or contributions that were prepared long in advance. We had others that were very fresh, which is my synonym for procrastination. They're not canned. So there's something to be said for those things that come up spontaneously just before, you know, they need to be delivered. We've heard about power, responsibility. We've heard about love. Pretty sure there was something in here for everyone. There was for me, that's for sure.